Hey guys, what's up? It's me, William the Opinion Updike. I'm here with Locked On Clippers, part of the Locked On NBA Network. I'm joined as I am every Monday through Friday by my best friend,
Positive Chuck Mockler, you guys.
We got a heck of a show lined up for you today.
Oh yeah.
It is Wednesday, which means Parallel Universe, or what could have been Wednesdays, where we analyze where we could be if things went a little differently.
Who knows?
You never know. We're going to open up today with some Clippers talk about mostly revolving around Patrick Beverley, starting guard. You know him. You love him. We're going to get into a little bit of an NBA wrap-up of last night's action. And then, as we said, Parallel Universe. And then we're going to be closing out the episode with a little... I just wanted to say ep instead of episode, but it didn't sound good.
It did not.
We're going to be closing out the episode with a little Chuck pitch, a little bit of Clippers... culture talk.
Should be fun.
It's going to be great. All this is being brought to you by a great new sponsor. Charles, let me ask you something. Do you love cars?
I do love cars.
Then you know what? You're going to love Metro Infinity. They're at 821 East Central Avenue, Monrovia. That's just off the 210 in Monrovia.
I'm familiar.
And they are the only dealer in California that is family-owned, and they've been in business for over 25 years. So you know they love cars, too.
That's incredible. I'm only 29.
The family that loves cars together stays together. And one of my favorite parts about Metro Infinity is that if you don't like coming to the dealership, what a hassle. No problem. They can bring the new car and the paperwork to your home or to your office, and you complete the whole transaction. You're all ready to go. Make sure to mention Locked On, and you can get another $500 off any car purchase.
Damn, I need that discount.
That's free money.
That is.
You can't get that anywhere else. So if you're thinking about a new Infiniti, or even in the market for a new car, any new car, please give them a chance to earn your business. Seriously, guys, you won't regret it. They also have over 50 certified pre-owned Infinitis. You can reach them at 626-599-7510 or metroinfinity.com. Right now, you can lease a new Infiniti Q50 3.0 luxury loaded.
Lux.
With navigation for $1,000 down and $325 a month plus tax. Only $1,000 down. Plus, you mentioned Locked On, get a sick $500 off.
That's a decent deal. I could use $500.
Episode starting right now.
So, we got some NBA wrap up. Patrick Beverley brought up after the victory over the Warriors that the media area in the locker room was teeming with media members.
A lot more full.
A lot more full than the beginning of the season.
He remarked at the beginning of the season there was all of 7 people there.
That sounds about
looking
right.
Looking to ask questions of the Clippers.
I can see that.
And now it's simply bustling.
Simply bustling. Are we accepting bandwagoners?
100%. Hop on in. The water is just right.
We're here for it.
Yeah.
Clippers,
absolutely.
The Lob City bandwagon, I think, was more annoying.
Yeah.
Because it was like kind of a louder style of basketball, which I'm for and definitely pro, but it was just like kind of a like very, you know, they were kind of annoying players. They were kind of like whiny. I feel like it attracted those.
You feel like the fan base
was whiners.
Was representative of the stars.
For bandwagoners especially.
Oh, for, yeah, I mean, I guess specifically.
Not true Clippers fans, but totally. Like the bandwagoners especially.
Okay, I was going to say, you were getting into You were getting into some too spicy territory.
No, but now I think the bandwagoners, it's more like, oh, this is a cool team. It's fun to watch. There's no real whiners, complainers.
Yeah. It seems like people are finally wising up to Shea.
Yeah, which is great. I was also surprised because of all the stuff with the Warriors, that really overshadowed the victory.
Oh, yeah.
Like, no one cared that we won.
Yeah. It's insane.
You're pro bandwagoner, yes?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Come on in.
We need it. Is it? How does it benefit us, do you think?
Man, fans is fans. I don't know. We were talking about this. We were both kind of tweeting about it, but like that Warriors game.
Dude, it seemed like it was over half Warriors fans.
It had to have been more than that.
It was crazy.
The only time I could hear noise from the stadium like happening in the broadcast was when something was happening for the Warriors.
When Clay tied it up.
Yeah.
It was like we were at the Oracle.
Yeah. And really, yeah, like when Draymond fumbled that possession at the end.
Oh,
everyone was like, oh.
Yeah,
I heard it like erupting from the stadium. And I was like, what is going on?
I was like, am I watching a Clippers home stream with the visiting media somehow piped in?
Yeah. No, and I totally understand that the Warriors are like a bit of an exception just because of all their success. You know, they're their bandwagon thing has been going for
yeah.
much longer. But no, we need I want more fans, want people getting loud, want people excited about this team. I want people to be as excited as I am.
Let's pack that Staples Center out. We do need some better home support. Hopefully that happens tomorrow night.
One last Patrick Beverly thing to wrap up. He got into a little bit of a spat with somebody on Twitter.
Oh, yeah, that was awesome.
Yeah, they were criticizing the defense, calling it average, which, just to point out, not so. We held them to 116.
Over, yeah.
And it went to overtime.
Yeah, that's a good team.
Yeah, I think people don't really understand. But
yeah, he was teaching people.
He was.
It was nice to see. We're going to get into some NBA scores right now. We haven't done it in a while because there's been so much Clippers news, which has been fantastic. The Cavs got their, second win?
I think so.
Second win, maybe third, by taking out the Hornets, 113-89. Jordan Clarkson spearheaded the Cavs' efforts with 24 points. Tristan Thompson with a pretty classic, good Tristan Thompson line of 11 points, 21 boards.
Damn.
Yeah, that's a lot. And Colin Sexton with 16-5-4, maybe his best game of the season.
What's happening with Rodney Hood? Does he still play basketball?
I don't think so.
Okay. I haven't been following the Cavs at all, but I feel like either. I also haven't seen his name anywhere.
Yeah, he's got a sad career path.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on with that.
Through a combination of a lot of things, but yeah, I don't know. Does he play? If you're listening and you're a Cavs fan, let us know.
Rodney Hood, if you're out there, just let us know you're okay.
Come on the pod. Jeremy Lamb did his best for the Hornets with 24 points. Nick Batum added 11, and no one else had more than 9, I believe.
Charlotte, though, this wasn't devastating defense or something by the Cavaliers. Charlotte had a historically bad shooting night.
Yeah.
As a team, they shot 22% from three, Jesus. And 37% field goal percentage. And my dude, Kemba Walker, huge fan of the pod. He is. We're a fan of him as well. He finished with 7 points, shooting Ooh. 2 of 16 from the field, good for 12%, and 1 of 7 from three.
Got to shoot him to make him.
Yeah, got to take him. Rockets took off against the Nuggets.
Oh, yeah.
109-99.
I was
pretty proud of yourself.
Pretty psyched on that one. Go ahead.
No, go for it.
Clint Capella was the leading scorer and rebounder for the Rockets with 24-9. Harden had 22 and 11 assists. CP3 had 21 points. Is this the new peak of the Rockets?
They haven't even begun to peak yet. I'm going to Dennis Reynolds.
Right,
they haven't even begun
that.
To peak.
Monte Morris led the Nuggets with 19. Jokic with 14, 12, and 7. Is the West maybe harder than we thought at the beginning of the season?
I don't know what you mean by this.
I think we've realized that some teams, take the Kings for instance.
Yeah.
There's these teams that I didn't think the Nuggets were going to be this good. I didn't really think the Rockets would be this, not bad, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Not as, it seems even more stretched out now, quality-wise.
That's fair. Are we sure that the Nuggets are good?
I think the Nuggets are good.
This is their fourth straight loss, that third at home. We are one game behind them in the standings.
Hmm. I think they are good. We'll see.
Believe it when
I hope they're not.
The Warriors put their differences aside and got past the Hawks. They didn't really put their differences aside, though. Draymond wasn't there. 110-103. Durant with 29. Klay, 24. Jonas Jerebko with a nice 14-13.
Classic.
He had that game winner against the Jazz, too, earlier
that was
in the season.
Cool game winner. Warriors shut down Trae Young, who only managed 4, 5, and 9.
Yeah.
That's not a good.
I think he went 2 of 12 shooting, something like that.
Gotta take him to make him, dude. Taurean Prince was the Hawks' leading scorer with 22. Kent Bazemore had 18. Do you think Draymond liked watching this game?
If he didn't have to be there, I don't know if I would watch the game.
I feel like, do you have to go if you're suspended for the game without pay?
No, I don't think he was there.
Oh, that's cool. Maybe he's getting a haircut in the Hawks barbershop that's in their stadium.
Yeah.
That would be pretty tight. You said you're surprised this was this close.
Yeah, I'm pretty surprised it was this close, especially with Trae Young, them really containing him and a combination of him being an inconsistent scorer.
And without Draymond.
Yeah.
It would have been cool
and
to
without
see.
Steph.
Oh, yeah, that guy. Man, it sucks that he's out for 10 more games now.
Yeah.
Or at least 10 days. He's going to be reevaluated.
Yeah.
Man, is it unraveling for the Warriors? Probably not.
Probably not.
They're probably going to be totally fine. Oh, man. That was a brief NBA wrap-up. Coming up after this advertisement, we have what could have been in the Arolel universe. So this one is a little more recent.
Yeah, very recent.
Do you think... So, game one against the Nuggets. Game one against the Nuggets, we threw it away, basically.
Yeah.
Could have won that game.
Oh, yeah.
Do you think we're 8-5 if we win that first game, do you think things change for the team? Do you think we play this well right now if we've won that first game?
Yes.
You think so?
Yeah.
I think it's a com. I think.
How can we not?
I think maybe not. I think there was maybe some things that were exposed in that first game that were maybe like, oh, these might actually be issues that we need to fix.
That's fair. I could see that.
You know what I mean? Not that we would be like exponentially worse or anything right now. I'm not saying we'd be like 3-9 or whatever.
No, no. I guess I do feel what you're saying. I think that had things gone exactly, especially for this starting unit, had things gone exactly the way they were intended right out the gate, I don't think we would be seeing so much playing time from Shea. I don't think we would get so many of these like short lineups and like kind of experimentation because, you know, there's no need to fix it if it's not broken.
Yeah, I think there would. That's kind of, I guess, that's a better way to say what I was trying to say, is that there'd be some complacency from Doc, I think.
Yeah.
There would be a little less like, oh, maybe Ty needs some more minutes. Like, maybe Bradley doesn't aggravate his foot. Maybe we don't see Shea absolutely crushing these last three games when he started.
Yeah, I mean, and we definitely wouldn't have seen that, like, big games from Boban.
Oh, very good point. Yeah, it's just an interesting, because I feel like this season, so many things have seemingly kind of gone wrong in terms of, like, position groups and stuff like that and our surplus of guards. But it feels like for everything that goes wrong, there's one thing that cancels it out, and it goes right.
Yeah.
And we're like put in this weird position where we're 8-5 playing great, despite kind of, we have a whole team identity, which we're going to get a little more on the Clippers culture talk, but we almost don't have a defined play style, if that makes sense. Like against the Warriors, we shot what? 25% from three?
Yeah, it wasn't great.
It was not great, but we still managed to get down low. Like it's a very fluid team. And I think if the game, if we would have beat that, the Nuggets team in game one, we would have just been stuck in one style of play.
Yeah, well, I think I don't quite think that. I think that the part of what makes this team great is it's like the sum of its parts.
For sure.
You know, everybody brings a little bit of a different skill, like you were saying. Like they kind of balance out each other's negatives. But I think like the playing style of this, with this specific group, I don't know if they are ever going to have a super defined identity of a playstyle.
I
think it's more of like a utility knife, or like a, maybe not a knife, just a utility group.
Yeah, I was like, what is it?
I don't know how the knife has to get in it. I guess I was thinking a Swiss Army knife with all the stuff on it.
It's a knife in a knife.
Little knife, big knife.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that I do see what you're saying, and but I think that part of the lack of like a real like a Lob City-esque identity or something like that is due to
is the style almost. You what? Could say the utilitarianness of not having a style is the style.
Definitely,
I like that. Yeah, it seems it's a really cool. The other team doesn't really know what they're gonna get.
Yeah, and I also just don't know. I think that we're like pretty good at a lot of things.
For sure. Yeah.
But I don't know what that one thing is that we're like so great at that it's like, oh, yes, this is what it is. And that's not a knock. That's not a
Definitely.
Knock on anybody. I mean, I think it's, you know, good to be pretty good at a lot of things.
I think the one thing we're like elite at is probably just hustling.
Yeah.
Which is like kind of a boring thing to be the best at.
Totally. Yeah.
But it really pays off because we have guys who are somehow flashy hustlers.
Yeah.
Like you can hustle and it's like, wow, that guy's really trying hard. Or you can be Trez and you're like, holy shit. Like that guy is really going for it with some flair and some joy for the game as well.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. I was listening to the Ringer NBA show and Chris Vernon, who is like from Memphis and writes for the Grizzlies, that he thinks that like Trez and Patrick Beverly are just Grizzlies players in Clippers uniforms.
Yeah.
And it's like watching the Clippers.
I mean,
not
that.
Like watching the Clippers, but like watching the Grizzlies like back when we had that like kind of rivalry.
Yeah. That's a really good call.
And I could definitely see that. I still think they're a little bit more flashy.
Absolutely.
I feel like there's a lot more flair than those Grizzlies teams had. No disrespect. They were great teams.
Not at all.
They, you know, kicked our behinds a few times. I forget what words I can say on this podcast.
Those old Grizzly teams weren't doing finger guns in the preseason.
No.
To opposing benches or shoulder rolls as they made baby hooks again.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we kind of have like LA hustle.
Yeah.
Where it's like, I'm hustling, but I want everyone to know that I'm hustling really hard. Another quick what could have been. What could have been had we made the playoffs last year? I think we're worse off this year.
Yeah. I mean, would we have gotten another free agent? I just don't really think so.
Yeah, I don't. I think it would have been kind of like, oh, especially because it's the Clippers, it would have been like, oh, they kind of sneaked into the playoffs. Who cares? We were probably going to get bounced in the first round. Let's also put that on it.
I think that it makes a bigger impact on some other teams. I think if we make the playoffs last year, it has a bigger effect on the franchises of the Timberwolves and the Nuggets than it does on us.
Oh, that's a good call. Like they're a little more frantic?
Yeah, like the Nuggets just barely missed the playoffs, you know, but like yeah. They have their core. And I think like if a team that maybe didn't have like the top level talent beat them out into the playoffs.
Okay.
I think that they're scrambling to make some more like large free agent moves. I mean, they pick up Isaiah Thomas, but that was kind of like,
does he play?
He's still on injury. He's still not back. And like when he does come back, it'll most likely be in a bench role, is where the majority of his minutes will be.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think that it puts a little bit more pressure on them to make big moves. I think the Jimmy Butler trade just happens earlier.
Good point.
Because there's like reports that he had asked for a trade. You know, he didn't show up for the sign out or what. I don't know what they do if they make you clean your locker out like they're in high school or whatever.
You gotta clean your cubby out, dude.
Yeah, but he didn't show up for that. And so it's been rumored that like he asked for a trade well in advance. And I think that had they not made the playoffs,
that happens way quicker.
It happens faster.
That's a good point. Yeah, I think. Yeah, I like that take that they would.
But like
it,
as
it
like
affect more, it was like other teams better.
Yeah, like what as for what it would do for the Clippers, like I mean, not a whole lot. I don't think that that's enough to get a big free agent here.
Yeah, we still probably take Shea.
Yeah,
with a Detroit pick.
Yeah,
And then we'd have that would be interesting because we wouldn't have Jerome.
Yes.
Well, we might have.
I think we might have.
Depending on, you know, we obviously would get bounced in the first round in this scenario. So yeah, we'd still maybe end up with the same guys. Interesting. Wow, what could have been in that parallel universe? Guys, right after this, we're going to be doing some Clippers culture talk, which is weirdly becoming kind of a weekly segment for us. But first, if you're following any of the Locked On Podcast Network stuff, check out Locked On Net on Twitter and Instagram. It's where you can get all of the podcasts in one centralized location. There's great stuff, local hosts covering the NFL, the NBA, college teams. During games, it's great for breaking news. On Instagram, you'll get a little longer stories and stuff like that just because of the format. Make sure to follow Locked On Net on both Twitter and Instagram.
So, a little bit of culture talk.
It's a good culture right now.
It is great. I think that even if you haven't followed this team, if you were to switch on a game or one of the two nationally televised games that we have, you would. I think that it's pretty easy to see that this is a squad that likes to play together and a squad that has fun together.
That's a really good point. I never thought about like the new viewer standpoint. If you're new to the Clippers, also welcome to the podcast.
Yeah,
but that's a really good point of like. You couldn't barely watch basketball and watch this team and be like, oh, these guys all like each other.
Yeah, yeah.
Is the game against the Spurs tomorrow televised? Is that one of our two?
I want to say that it is one of the two, but I cannot remember.
I bet the NBA is bummed that everyone on the Spurs is hurt for that matchup. Yeah, the culture is pretty sweet. We talked about this a little bit yesterday, but Doc seems to have put a more concentrated effort this year on fostering professional and personal growth among all of the players.
Yeah.
He's been more vocal about voting stuff this year. He's been more vocal about, like, you know, they had that team dinner, and he talked about how intense it was to hear about, you know, young black men mentioning their moms as their heroes because they might not have had their dad and stuff like that. It seems like he's much more in tune with, like, really meshing the team together with what they can identify with to each other.
Totally.
Which is really cool to see. And he's just rejuvenated.
Yeah.
Like, he's so excited to have this team, I think.
Do you think it makes things more interesting for him?
Dude, 100%.
I mean, I would guess so.
Like, we've all been at that job for too long, and we're like, this sucks. And then they hire, like, a bunch of new people, and you're like, oh, this is pretty fun again.
Yeah, definitely.
I can kind of think and stuff like that.
Yeah, whole new crew. Yeah, I don't know. Do you think that Doc is at the point now? Do you think that he worries about his legacy after having gone, you know, from winning a championship to
Lob City, which is a pretty big...
To Lob City, which, I mean, I think by most accounts would be a pretty large failure.
Yeah, for the expectations that we had, I would say it was a failure. Fun.
Yeah.
A fun failure, but a failure nonetheless. I don't know if he's worried about his legacy. I'd never thought about that. I think yes, but maybe in a good way.
Oh, yeah. I'm not you saying know? That he's like a megalomaniac or anything.
Oh, no,
like
not
that.
At all.
I just wonder if he's at that point now where he's wondering, you know, if maybe that next thing that he does isn't a championship, you know, how can he still be impactful? Like, what is his legacy? And I think that this has been the first opportunity that he's had to really like instill something into a generation
the
of young players.
Team. Yeah, for sure.
And so I wonder if that, I mean, even subconsciously has something to do with that, that like he knows that, yeah, no matter what, that's like a different type of achievement and legacy that will kind of live on forever.
I really like that. I think he definitely understands this is his chance to really make a mark on a team.
Mm-hmm.
Not that he didn't with Boston and Lob City and stuff like that, but it feels... You know, it's more of an organic situation this year.
Yeah.
In the past, I guess, 2 years, really, because of all the trades and stuff like that and the new young good guys. But, yeah, I think he is not worried about his legacy, but he's conscious of, like, this could be the big stamp. Because this would kind of make him, like, a full circle coach.
Yeah.
Of, like, he got the big three with the free agents, which was awesome. He managed them. They got championships. He got Lob City, which was rejuvenated Clippers basketball in general,
yeah,
which was a really hard thing to do. And then, yeah, this would be like the cherry on top of, well, he came in, he had input with Jerry West, he had input with all these other guys, he got his team, and he really made it work.
Yeah.
How long do you want Doc to coach for?
That's a really good question. So I think we have him for 3 more seasons. Or
let's call it, yeah, let's call it, let's just say
I think,
3.
I think it's this season plus 2.
Okay, yeah, let's call it 3.
You know, I think that's would have to depend on like the development of the younger guys.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, I was kind of out on Doc for as a coach for a while there.
Absolutely, I was too.
It also seemed like the easy shakeup. You know, teams that get kind of stuck,
yeah,
like you know the Raptors last year. Like I even kind of think Portland, mm-hmm, who gets so far, but like it doesn't seem worth it to completely blow up your roster. The easy thing to do is to like change out the coach.
Yeah.
And so I'm definitely guilty of being like, get Doc the F out of here.
I think a lot of Clippers fans were because we just got kind of bored.
Yeah.
We were kind of spoiled by Lob City.
Yeah.
Of like, well, we got these 3 guys. And then it was like, it took him, you know, last year to really be like, damn, I'm going to start rotating. I really got to try some stuff now.
Yeah.
So I was for sure on the fire Doc thing too. But yeah, and depending on what free agent we get, I'd like to see him coach for the next like 5 years.
Yeah,
you know.
I think that's a good mark. I mean, it's just hard to tell. You this franchise, I mean, we just might not even be the same team next season.
Yeah.
You know.
Very good point.
So it's really hard for me to say beyond his current contract how long I would want Doc to stay as a coach.
Yeah.
But I, you know, I'm happy with what he's doing right now. I think that last season was definitely like I don't want to say a learning moment because it's not like he wasn't already a great coach, but a different type of
eye-opening maybe.
Yeah.
Like to see he maybe unlocked a part of his brain he hadn't used in a minute.
Yeah.
Because he literally had to.
Yeah.
I like your note on here. Can we officially end Clamp City?
Yeah, can we stop calling it Clamp City?
I kind of agree, man.
It
doesn't even seem to have caught on.
No, it doesn't seem to have caught on. And anytime I talk to people who are kind of like on the outskirts of Clippers fandom, and by that I mean they don't listen to this podcast every day, they think the name is kind of lame.
It is lame. It's because it's lame. It's like weirdly harking back to Lob City.
Yeah.
Which I don't, we can just totally move on from.
It's time to move on.
And like, I agree. I don't feel cool wearing anything that says hashtag Clamp City.
Yeah.
It feels like, this is going to sound very dumb of me, it feels like Lamp City, which is a big store that sells lamps. I said it was going to sound dumb, but that's what I think of when every time I hear it. So you say Shine and Grind?
I think that's a good one.
What is Chip and Drip? That's a new one. I have not heard.
I came up with this.
That's
Chip and Drip.
Original.
Dripping with sauce, and we get a little chippy on the other end.
I'm actually not mad at that. Chip and Drip. Okay, I think I like Chip and Drip more than I like Shine and Grind, but I think the masses might like Shine and Grind a little bit more.
I like Chip and Drip too because I feel like it cements Shea as like the leader of the team. Because his like big hashtag is Don't Mind My Drip.
Yeah. So. If you're listening, let us know what you think of Clamp City. I can't imagine anyone really likes it because I don't see it hashtagged a lot. Yes, the official hashtag is Clipper Nation. But
also, would you watch a buddy cop show called
Chip and Drip?
Chip and Drip
with Shea
and Beverly.
Dude, yeah, of course. I would watch a buddy cop show of Chip and Drip even if they weren't actual cops and they just worked behind a desk. And it was just them basically in an office situation.
And one is a hard ass and one is silky smooth.
Yeah. Patrick Beverly's always the guy who's like, they have like the fingerprint scanner for the copier and stuff like that. And Beverly's like, you need to scan your fingerprint. Like, he's very mad about that. All right. Shine and Grind, Chip and Drip. Guys, if you have any other, are these nicknames or mottos for the team? I also am not clear on that.
Nicknames?
Because like they used to call them the Lob City Clippers.
Yeah.
The Chip and Drip Clippers. That sounds good.
It's got a ring to it.
That does sound good. Shine and Grind is good. The fact that Patrick Beverly's not, like, he kind of reps Clamp City.
Yeah.
But even he isn't really fully into Clamp City.
Yeah, I don't think it just hasn't really caught on. Or Big Knife, Little Knife.
Dude, Big Knife, Little Knife is good. That should be Bobby and Toby's nickname. Because they'll cut you. Guys, tune in tomorrow when we have a preview of the game against the San Antonio Spurs. As well as
excited.
Thirsty Thursdays, what we want to see more of. Thank you so much for listening. I have been kind of loopy Chuck Mockler.
And I'm William the Opinion Updike.
Thanks, guys.